Good evening, Radio Laurier. I'm your host, Monif Taylor, and today I'm joined with a very special guest. Andrew, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Andrew Neal. I play guitar in a local band called I Can't Remember.
And you are notably a Laurier grad, too. Yeah. One of the reasons we're always trying to chat to people who are, you know, from our kind of neck of the woods on here. This voice, of course, is station manager
Nate Dawes.
So, what's up? How's your day been going?
It's pretty good. I had the day off. I'm working 7 days on, 7 days off work, doing like support work type stuff. So, I have a psych bachelor's. That's what I went to school here for.
That's that reads as classic musician kind of like. Insane hours. We make it work with the music stuff as well. Like, what kind of support work?
I'm mostly just doing with like youth, just like older teenagers. But it's hard to really talk about. I can't say much.
Of course,
they come from like all different types of life, so it's definitely an eye opener to see kind of the different stories that they have.
Important work, but. Of course, we're here today primarily to talk about your band.
I Can't Remember.
Yes.
Indeed. That is the name of the band. Describe it for those of us that are unsure. How would you describe the genre if you put labels on it at all?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. It's definitely in the heavy metal realm, but we're very plug and play, not really like effects heavy, kind of just... Plug and play means like you just plug your stuff in and kind of roll with it.
Just go ham.
No like computers or anything like that. So just kind of old school with it.
And straight metal.
Kind of try to get people like moving like heavy but funky stuff. So even if you're not trying to like mosh, get people on the side just like headbanging or something.
That's great. Where'd you say your musical influences came from? I was listening to the last song that just came on. I was feeling a bit more hardcore with that metal.
Yeah, I would say it's quite a range for the guys. Like everybody has different draws for their influence. The drummer for our band's my older brother. He's 4 years older, so... I always, like, grew up listening to him drum, like, older kind of, like, metalcore type stuff. So that was kind of my influence. But my family put me in piano, so I was always just, like, bop and that kind of stuff. And got influenced by my brother playing in bands. That was, like, almost too young to be a part of kind of thing. And then eventually... assembled with my buddy Darren, who's our bass player. He's same age as me. We went to high school together. So when we brought him to jam with my brother and I, we kind of got rolling. But it's mostly just through my brother just influencing me to want to kind of drive the band in terms of writing our own stuff, in terms of other bands just being like a cover band type of thing. Like go out and play just like music everybody knows versus trying to get people to like your own stuff that you're making. It's a big jump.
Right. You know, you said like, you know, you try to be more like original, not cover band. How's the like songwriting process go for you guys? Is it like instruments first, lyrics first? How do you guys do that?
I would say it's definitely more rhythm first than lyrics. I would say we could have lyrics as like a foundation of what we might want certain elements of the song to be about. But it's definitely rhythm first, kind of get the groove, figure out like what's like the hook or like the catch to the song that will make it catchy for people, and then if we can have it catchy instrumentally in terms of just like messing around with different riffs, then add some lyrics on top of it.
So very like rhythm first, you'd say.
Yeah.
Do you have any particular bands that you feel like inspired you to get in that kind of mode of like finding the groove before you necessarily find the melody? You talked a bit about 90s metalcore or older metalcore, like.
I would say for my guitar playing, a lot of it is like System of a Down type style. We do play 7-string guitars and 5-string bass, but the 6-string without the extra 7 is just drop C tuning, which is your System of a Down kind of era stuff. And then I would say for the drumming, it's my brother's very influenced by Slipknot and like Joey Jordison type of stuff. So it's kind of a mix between, I would say, some new metal influences, but also a bunch of bands that were just on, like, Guitar Hero, were like how my brother and I, like, knew about who bands even were.
I feel like that's got to be a massive point of influence for so many people who grew up in the aughts in that time. It's like, like, probably the career of Dragon Force wouldn't exist the same way if it hadn't been the hardest song on Guitar Hero at the time or whatever. Like, were you a big like player?
Yeah, like I'm born 99. My brother's born 95. So we're kind of growing up in the age of, I would say, late 2000s games. We're grinding that super heavy, and that was definitely the era of like Xbox 360, Guitar Hero. Whatever bands like would be on those games, then we'd be trying to get CDs. And like, this was pre-Spotify and all that.
On that note of like, you know, music that inspired you, who was your first like show or concert that you'd been to?
My first show I ever went to is Pink Floyd, which I'm kind of spoiled, but I wouldn't say them. I went to see Billy Talent 2 when that came out. So we're actually going to, we're a bunch of us are going to see their anniversary of Billy Talent 2, but yeah, it was Cancer Bats, Alexa on Fire, and Billy Talent, and I was like, all right, this is kind of all Canadian stuff. I'm going to see what stuff's kind of coming out of here, and then just deep dived on all the Canadian bands.
That's one of the coolest things. Just being able to be like, man, one of the early shows I remember, one of the coolest shows I remember is Billy Talent, Alexis on Fire, and Cancer Bats. It's one of the coolest things to hear. Like, I would say just personally, I've talked about this at a lot of people around here before, but Alexis on Fire, one of my favorite bands. Like, the first two albums especially, the more kind of screamo thing, but like, man, what a cool Canadian band, and such a cool band to be representing, like aggressive music in Ontario outside of Toronto, like for so long. It's so cool.
Yeah, awesome.
What about that show? What about the idea of being Canadian and local is important to you?
I think just the music scene in general is you got to treat like a community, and you got to really push the bands that you know are coming from your area, or at least like giving them support. So say like Billy Talent, I've seen them probably, I think, 10 or 11 times. So just like all the Canadian bands that roll through, just show up for them, give them the love. And it also works on the local scene. If bands are just trying to be better than each other, it's kind of not the way to think. You should just all show up for each other, and then that's how it'll grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. On that note of like, you know, local, obviously you've played some shows. You have a live EP, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
What's your favorite like venue to play, or favorite town?
There's different areas that definitely have different draws, I would say, but for different reasons. One of my favorite shows I ever played was a place called the Casbah in Hamilton, which is no longer. It was a pretty sweet place. We opened up for a band called The Good Depression, who's like pretty solid from Hamilton. And yeah, just like any stage where got lots of room makes you feel nice. Definitely played some basements in some small places. So have different enjoyment for different reasons at shows. But definitely a place like that where you feel like you're on a legit kind of stage. Last October, we played the Hub in downtown Kitchener, which, like, the Hub is decently nice. Like, some touring bands roll through there. So to play on a stage that felt, like, pretty legit was nice. So I would say, yeah, just those couple.
Is there any, like what was your favorite, like a local band that you'd want to play with or have played with that you're, like, ooh, you want to do more stuff with them again?
I got unfortunate news that one of my favorite bands is no longer, that we played like 3-4 shows with. So, yeah, I'm definitely scouting some bands to maybe do like 3-4 shows with. Right now we're planning to go out west, but I would like to do like some little Ontario run. At least maybe hit like each city once or twice. Like, we have London booked is our next show. And then we're doing the band crawl in May. I'm not sure if I was supposed to say that.
There's always, yeah. Everyone ends up on the band crawl at some point. We're going to cut to music for a second here, yeah. And we'll come back and talk about more with Andrew from I Can't Remember in a couple songs. Okay, roll that tape.
And we are back from break, still with Andrew from I Can't Remember. You said you were from Laurier, correct? Psychology.
Yes.
How was the experience being like a metalhead at Laurier, if you consider yourself a metalhead?
I'd say it's like pretty niche. You'd see like the odd person walk around with like maybe like band shirts, like you know the bands are, but like still pretty niche, like
not much of a community.
Yeah, I would say like if you weren't to go out to shows, like you wouldn't really know like what's out there just by like walking around,
right?
Type of thing. Maybe people need to like poster more, or go like more old school, so you know there is that kind of scene out there. But yeah, I would say mostly you don't really know what if there's even people that are into it.
Right. You ever had any like awkward interactions where you go up to someone, think they're listening to the same music as you, and you're stuck in a conversation where you just don't listen to the same music? Any awkward interactions like that at Laurier?
I'm not sure. Like, I've definitely, like, had a couple, like, nerdy conversations with guys that have, like, niche metal band shirts. Luckily, I haven't found any, like, poser-type situations where, like, they're wearing a shirt and I'm like, hey, nice shirt, and they don't actually listen to it. So, luckily, the people have actually been legit. So, but... It's seldom you find them, but when you are, you know there's a couple diehard metalheads out there. They're just few and far between, I guess.
That's a great way to put it. I don't think much has changed here since... When did you graduate?
Say 2023.
Not much has changed in 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the topic of Laurier... a contentious topic throughout all Laurier students is the quality of the food.
Oh.
How was it back then?
I did do the dining hall, so. I don't know how much of a critic, like, how tough can I be?
You speak your mind, mind.
I would say I ate a lot of pasta because that was consistent. Where, like, I knew what I was going to get. Where, like, if you went with something other than pasta, maybe you're, like, risking it. Like, it might be fire, but it might just be trash. So, I don't know. And I had, like, the dollars where I could go to the food court. So, I would just go to, like, Harvey's. Say, like, the dining hall wasn't on par that day. Then I would just use the money for there. But Am I supposed to give ratings?
Or if you'd like to give a rating, you can. I'm not. I mean, I have my own thoughts on that, and love to hear yours.
I don't know. I would say. Oh, I forgot about the breakfast. Okay.
A lot of people say that's usually better. Gets better on the weekends, even.
I was thinking about having the breakfast changes my rating a bit. I'm not gonna give that as bad of a rating now. I'll say 7.3 because I had the breakfast many mornings when I needed replenished, for sure.
You heard it here from I Can't Remember. Andrew from I Can't Remember. Breakfast is the Laurier Dining Hall is a 7.8.
I would say 7.3.
7.8.
7.8 is a bit too high. We're jumping GPAs here.
Any notable, like, course experiences at Laurier?
Neuroscience was hard. Like, anything related to that. Mm. Just, like, a lot of theory. That, like, I guess if you're going into, like, a master's and you need it, then that's awesome. But, yeah, I would say that was tough, but I liked more, like, maybe I'm more of an applied learner. Like, say, if you're going to work in therapy, like, let's figure out how to actually do the therapy, not just more the theoretical stuff. But maybe that's, like, where we could adapt to more, like, co-op type opportunities or, like, placements that turn out to be jobs type of thing,
right.
Like courses that have that.
Jumping topics a bit, you mentioned previously that, like, you did piano when you were younger. Do you think you'll ever incorporate some of that into your music?
I don't know. The guys have joked about it. Maybe, like interlude-y type stuff. There's, like, definitely some heavy bands that do it as, like, intros, outros, or just, like, layering type of thing. The problem for me is I don't want to have a song that might be our biggest possible song that, like, I absolutely need the piano for, and now I'm bringing everything. So, like, you got to think about being on the road, too, and travel.
Right.
These shows are not your crib. Like, you got to take your stuff.
Yeah.
So, having the piano, it hasn't been incorporated for travel reasons, I would say.
You heard it here. The travel, the cost of transportation is holding our musicians back.
I drive a Volkswagen Jetta, so I have limited space.
More so a question about your band, but does your vocalist cup the mic?
No, I know it's controversial, and, like, there's, like, newer bands that just say, screw it, and they just cup it, but definitely more of the older crowd is, like, frowned upon, especially, like, people who ruin their voices not doing it, they would be against it, but I would say, just do whatever you can that's not going to wreck your voice, because you still got a life to live. And I would say just try to be heavy, but whatever you can do to be still, like, healthy and take care of it. There might be stuff that sounds crazy, like, cupped or not. That's, like, if you're doing that 30, 40 shows a year, and practicing weekly, like, you don't want to be doing something for, like, 2-3 years and then blow your voice type of thing.
Don't want to end up, like, Asking Alexandria.
Yeah, just a bunch of bands that are just, like, they're out of commission. Because I always tell Rolly, our vocalist, like, say for me, if I trash a guitar, I can just restring a guitar, get a new guitar, or whatever. But for vocalists, their instrument is their body. So, like, I'm not opposed to cupping if it's going to maybe give band shows that they wouldn't be able to physically play because they'd be hurting themselves otherwise.
Right. Speaking of shows, we asked about your, you know, some high shows. Have you had any bad, awkward experiences at shows that you've played? Like any negative experiences? Don't gotta name names, but like any.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say like any terrible shows, because I always have the mindset of, even if there's one person there, I try to think, you never know who that person is. And even if it's just somebody coming to listen to music, maybe that person had like not a great week and they're coming out on a Saturday night just to kind of bop to some tunes or whatever, kind of do it for them. So I would say whether there's 10 people or 100 people, you kind of have to treat the shows the same. There's definitely shows that we've played that were like holy, like that was incredible, like definitely highlights. But even the low ones that we thought maybe could have been better, just try to be positive with it. I wouldn't really name like any specific shows or bands we played with, but yeah, it's definitely highs and lows. You just got to be steady through it.
Right. Now, this is more of a lightning round fun section. Without using the words good or bad, I'm going to name bands, and you're going to give me a word back, that the first word that thinks of them, not good or bad.
Okay, I got you. Like, right. how long do I have to...
Bad Omens.
Mid.
Sleep Token.
Mid.
Jordan Fish.
No comment.
Beartooth.
No comment.
President.
No comment.
Asking Alexandria.
Definitely crazy at one point. I don't know what to... I would say crazy.
Just new metal, like the 2000s new metal. We're talking Limp Bizkit, Slipknot.
Revolutionary.
It's a dope word to use. 90s thrash.
Old. I don't know.
Old. Sleep Token again.
Mid.
Okay. We've gotten a lot of great answers in that sense. You've answered pretty right, I'd say. What are your thoughts on the word core slop? Like, the modern metal, like, discourse, there's a lot of terms that go around: coworker music, core slop. What are your thoughts on those?
I'm not sure.
You, no?
No, I don't have a comment on that. Sorry, I hit your water.
Straight edge?
No.
No?
No, there is, like, a bit of a straight edge community, I would say. But, I would say we're just chilling. Like, a couple of the guys are California sober, but, I would say we're not doing any craziness.
All right.
There is some craziness in the scene. I won't comment, but we're just chilling.
Just chilling. And you know, kind of wrapping this up, I'm wondering, have any upcoming projects you can maybe describe? Any upcoming shows?
Nothing till next month in April. We're playing in London, playing at the Temple there. So that would be pretty cool. So I have the band crawl in May. So I'm not really sure when we'd be playing in this area other than that. So if you're available in May, pull up. You don't got work the next day if you're working. And then mostly just recording. We're probably about halfway done writing for our second album, maybe like 5-6 songs in. And just got some recording in the summer.
Any words to describe this mythical album that's coming up?
I'll probably be self-titled. Just like the first one.
Oh. Question about the name, actually. The backwards E's.
It's just kind of trippy, I guess. I don't know. It causes some people trouble, but I don't know. Maybe it's a bit hard to find for different websites, which, like, I've emailed support people about it. It's kind of a hassle, but most sites, if you search it, just remember with the normal ease, it will pop up. YouTube, you have to put in tags on your videos to just like for it to pop up. But
right.
Other than that, it's basically just an aesthetic, I guess.
Aesthetic. More on that name. Why'd you name it that? I can't remember.
I'm not sure exactly. My brother was the one who named it. He kind of just pitched it to me, and we kind of thought it was hilarious. And just, like, he thought of the idea of, like, you're just going to, like, see a local band, and you're, like, you go home, and they're like, oh, who'd you go see? And you just say, I can't remember, and just not really expecting to, like, have that crazy of shows. We just thought we'd be, like, just a small local band where maybe someone just, like, the joke is that they wouldn't know, kind of thing.
Awesome. Honestly, it was a pleasure having you on.
Thanks, man.
You guys should all check out I Can't Remember. Their music is heavy as you can fill in the blanks, but these guys absolutely slap. If you have the opportunity to check them out, please do. And I think that's all.
Thanks, man.